Have you ever looked at a basic Raspberry Pi you've got sitting on your desk? Or maybe, I don't know, the little chip inside your smart fridge?
Oh, yeah, the really underpowered ones.
Right, and wondered why it can't run a massive AI. I mean, think about it. You can't just load up a cutting-edge 7 billion parameter language model on a basic appliance.
Oh, definitely not.
The poor thing would essentially, catch fire.
It's really the ultimate bottleneck in modern technology right now. We want intelligence everywhere, right? But standard AI requires massive amounts of immediate memory.
Which those tiny devices just don't have.
Exactly. They lack the memory, they have incredibly high processor latency, and the power draw is just it's something tiny devices physically cannot sustain.
Right, the battery dies in like 10 minutes.
The battery dies, the chip overheats, and the whole system crashes.
You're just constantly fighting against heat and physical memory limits. But welcome to today's deep dive. Today we're looking at a framework called asynchronous probability dumping.
Or APD, yeah.
APD, right. And it might just be the secret to running massive AI on a device the size of a postage stamp.
It's a huge shift.
It totally is. We're pulling from this fascinating architectural source document today that completely shatters how we think about edge computing.
It really does.
Because the mission here is exploring, well, what if we stopped asking our tiny devices to actually think in real time?
Right.
What if instead we gave them a massive pre-computed cheat sheet stored directly on a solid-state drive?
What's fascinating here is that this completely flips our understanding of artificial intelligence hardware.
How so?
Well, we are so used to AI being this compute-on-demand system. You ask a question, the machine spins up massive resources, does the heavy math.
And hopefully gives you an answer before melting.
Exactly. But this framework shifts that entirely into what they call a predict and harvest engine.
Predict and harvest.
Yeah, it completely separates the act of the AI doing the heavy math from the device actually delivering the answer to you.
Okay, let's unpack this because the best way I can picture the energy difference here is through meal prep.
Oh, I like that.
Standard real-time AI is like hiring a highly trained private chef, right?
Right.
They come to your house and cook a fresh, elaborate meal from scratch every single time you feel even a tiny bit hungry.
Which is wildly inefficient.
Totally. It requires a ton of energy. It's super expensive, and you're just waiting around for the cooking to happen.
Which is exactly why your smart home devices are currently so limited, they just can't afford that private chef.
Exactly.
But the asynchronous probability dumping framework, the APD, changes the model to basically Sunday meal prep.
Right. You spend your Sunday cooking massive batches of food when you actually have the time.
And cheap electricity.
Yeah, cheap electricity, the kitchen space, you cook it all, you put it in the freezer.
Right.
Then on Tuesday night when you're hungry, you don't cook, you just open the freezer and microwave a container. The heavy lifting is completely done.
And the math behind that energy simulation in the source document is just stunning.
Oh, it really
In a
is.
standard setup, you pay a massive energy cost for every single query. Imagine burning, say, 100 joules of energy just to generate one single word of response.
Every single time you talk to the device.
Every time. But the APD system pays a huge upfront cost to compute a massive batch of probabilities during off-peak hours.
Like the Sunday meal prep.
Exactly. It runs on a powerful server and it writes all of those potential answers to a cheap solid-state drive.
Okay.
So later, when your tiny device needs an answer, it doesn't do any math at all.
It just
It
reads.
just performs a simple read operation from the drive, which costs a fraction of a single joule.
That's like a 99% discount on energy at the exact moment you need the device to work.
Pretty much.
But wait, surely there's a catch, right? I mean, if I spend all Sunday cooking 100 meals, I've wasted a whole Sunday, and I might not even eat all of them.
That's a very fair point. And the source architecture actually identifies that exact problem. They call it the amortization cliff.
The amortization cliff.
Right. In the very early stages of setting up this system, it actually looks wildly inefficient.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you are burning a tremendous amount of server energy up front to generate all these probabilities.
So you're paying a huge energy bill on the back end.
Initially, yes. But as the probability reservoir on your solid state drive fills up with these pre-computed answers, the economics completely flip.
Okay, how so?
Once that reservoir is full, your device can answer millions of queries by just reading the drive.
Wow.
Yeah, as the number of questions grows, your average cost per answer drops so close to zero it practically vanishes.
That's wild.
You trade unpredictable, expensive, real-time thinking for incredibly fast, cheap storage reads.
But wait, hold on. If we are pre-computing every possible answer to every possible question and just, dumping it onto a drive,
Yeah.
my 1 terabyte SSD is going to be completely full in 10 minutes.
Right.
Are they using some kind of insane compression algorithm to fit all this AI data onto a single drive?
See, a lot of engineers assume it's compression, but it's actually much more elegant than that. If we connect this to the bigger picture of memory requirements, it's a filtering concept the architecture calls entropy gating.
Entropy gating. Okay, what is that?
Well, the system doesn't save every possible answer because it knows that would drown the drive in useless data.
Right.
Before the server saves anything, it evaluates how uncertain a probability path is. It uses a mathematical threshold, basically an uncertainty score.
Oh, so it's grading its own homework before it saves it.
Exactly. If the AI calculates a probability path that is completely obvious, say, the next step in a sequence is absolutely guaranteed.
Like what?
Like knowing the word peanut is going to be followed by butter in a specific context. The uncertainty score for that is zero.
Okay.
The system considers that a deterministic boring
And
zone.
it just throws it away.
It throws it away. It doesn't write it to the solid state drive at all.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because the tiny device can figure out the boring stuff on its own. The server only saves the complex, highly uncertain probability shards where the tiny device would actually struggle and need guidance.
Oh, wow. So it's actively curating the cheat sheet to only include the hardest questions on the test.
Exactly. And that keeps the storage footprint completely manageable.
Which totally shifts the whole edge reality. The contrast in the source material is stark.
It's a completely different paradigm.
Like, if you look at a standard lightweight AI, a tiny LM trying to run on edge hardware today, it needs maybe 2 to 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Which is a lot for a tiny gadget.
It's massive. It
Yeah.
pins the processor at 100%, and your battery is dead in an hour.
Right.
But by shifting to this storage-based probability dumping, the RAM usage on the device plummets to under 50 megabytes.
And the processor load drops below 5%.
5%.
Yeah, the fundamental identity of the device changes. Your smart gadget is no longer acting as a computer, it is now a controller.
A controller.
Yes. There are absolutely no AI model weights loaded into the device's actual working memory. The heavy lifting was done miles away, days ago.
Okay, but even if we are only saving the hardest questions, an SSD is still a massive haystack of data.
Sure.
If I'm asking my tiny, underpowered smart device a question, how does it quickly find the exact sentence it needs without scanning the entire terabyte drive?
That's a challenge.
Right, because I feel like the search time would ruin the whole experience. You'd be waiting forever.
And that brings us to the actual mechanical structure of how the data is saved, which is crucial for any system developer trying to build this.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
The architecture provides a framework called the SSD Probability Shard Schema, or SPSS. It is a highly optimized fixed-length binary structure.
Okay, let's break down the mechanics of that because the source gets really specific. What does the schema actually look like on the drive?
Well, every single shard of data begins with a validation code, a 4-byte magic header.
A magic header.
Yeah, it literally spells out PROB in computer code.
Yeah.
PROB.
Why bother with a magic header?
So the hardware doesn't accidentally try to execute a corrupted file or like a family photo as an AI model.
Oh, and crash the system.
Exactly. It's a basic safety check.
Yeah.
Following that, there's a shape descriptor.
And what does that do?
This tells the tiny chip the exact physical dimensions of the data grid it's about to pull from storage.
Oh, which means the tiny processor doesn't even have to do the math to figure out how big the file is.
Right.
It's just handed the exact dimensions.
Exactly. But the absolute most critical piece of this structure, the ultimate trick for developers trying to optimize reading these tensors,
Yeah.
is something called the entropy mask.
The entropy mask. This is how it avoids scanning the whole drive.
Yes. The architecture is designed for instant direct access, random reads. When you ask the device a question, it turns your question into a lightweight digital key.
Okay.
It maps that key to a specific physical location on the solid state drive. But before it pulls the heavy probability data, it reads this tiny entropy mask first.
It's like checking the peephole before you open the door.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
If the mask for that query reads as a zero, the system instantly knows, oh, the answer to this is deterministic. It's a boring zone.
And it skips reading the massive data payload entirely.
It skips it, costing essentially zero energy. It only pulls the heavy data if the entropy mask confirms there is high-value information waiting inside.
That is incredibly elegant.
It really is.
But there is a massive warning in the source text for developers regarding how this data actually gets written to the drive during the Sunday meal prep phase.
Oh, the write amplification trap.
The write amplification trap, yes. If I'm understanding this right, if you try to save a million tiny individual answers as separate files,
you will literally destroy the drive.
Wait, literally destroy it?
You would destroy its lifespan and absolutely cripple the bandwidth.
Why?
Because solid-state drives write data in blocks. If you save thousands of tiny files, the drive has to constantly rewrite entire blocks just to change one tiny piece of data.
Oh, I see.
The physical wear and tear is catastrophic.
So how do you avoid destroying the hardware? Because you have to save all this data.
The architecture specifies that developers must use sequential writes. You don't write a million files.
Okay.
You dump one massive continuous chunk of data, a giant block of probabilities, and then you attach an index at the very end.
So it's just one huge file with a map at the end.
Exactly. That minimizes the wear on the physical drive and ensures the system actually saves energy in the long run.
Okay, now that the exact memory mapping and the hardware traps are clear,
okay,
let's step back and look at what this physically changes for you, the listener, in your own home.
It changes everything.
Because this isn't just software theory. This entirely redefines the physical gadgets you buy.
Right. It shifts the entire capital allocation of hardware development.
Imagine a basic Raspberry Pi or like a 10-year-old smartphone.
Ancient hardware.
Normally, running advanced AI on those is a complete joke. But under this framework, instead of trying to cram a full language model onto the device, it just runs a tiny micro router.
A local micro router, yeah.
The text suggests a micro model so small, it barely registers on the memory, like 100 million parameters or something.
Let's walk through a real-world scenario from the source to see how this routes data.
Let's do it.
Imagine you tell your smart device, fix my Python loop.
Okay.
If this were a standard AI, the device would have to load gigabytes of data into RAM, spin up its processor, and generate the code word by word.
Overheating instantly.
Right. But with the micro router,
it doesn't even know how to write Python, does it?
It has no idea how to code. And it doesn't try to. Its only job is to act like a postal worker sorting mail.
A postal worker?
Yeah, it doesn't read the letter.
Yeah.
It just looks at the zip code. It sees your request and categorizes it. This belongs in code, subcategory Python.
Right.
It looks up that zip code in the index, finds the exact spot on the solid-state drive for that topic, and executes a direct memory read.
A DMR. It just grabs the pre-computed answer from the drive and hands it to you.
Exactly. The device doesn't compute a single thing. It pays a tiny, microscopic energy tax just to read the drive.
Think about what that means for the entire tech industry. Gadget makers don't need to put expensive, heat-generating neural processing units and massive RAM sticks into a smart toaster or a thermostat or a home security camera anymore.
They really don't.
They just need dirt cheap, blazing fast SSD storage, and a tiny router chip. This brings advanced, complex AI to the cheapest hardware on the market.
You stop investing in computational power, and you start investing in storage capacity.
Mm-hmm.
The solid-state drive becomes the new brain.
Okay, but, and this is a big but, I have a major scenario we need to address.
Sure.
Let's say I have this APD-powered smart home. It's incredibly fast. It uses no power.
Sounds great.
It's basically just reading from a giant preloaded encyclopedia.
Right.
What happens on a Tuesday when I ask it a highly specific, weird question that isn't on the drive? If the answer wasn't pre-computed on Sunday, does the device just break? Does my house become obsolete the second my habits change?
This raises an important question, because that is the ultimate vulnerability of any static system.
Right.
And it is addressed by the final and perhaps most brilliant feature detailed in the architecture, the train-on-the-go protocol.
Train on the go. So the system is designed to handle those exact unknown scenarios.
Yes, without forcing the tiny device to suddenly try and do massive math.
So what does it do when it hits a blank page in the encyclopedia? Mm-hmm.
If the device encounters a query that results in a miss, meaning the uncertainty score is high, but there's no pre-computed answer on the drive,
yeah,
it doesn't panic. It doesn't try to guess and hallucinate an answer.
Which is what current AI would do.
Exactly. It simply logs the query.
It just takes a note. I was asked this and I didn't know it.
It takes a note and it continues operating instantly for all the things it does know.
Yeah.
Then the workflow utilizes a sync schedule.
Like what?
Think about how we used to plug an old iPod into a computer once a week to sync new music.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
The smart device operates on its own all week. Then, maybe on Sunday night, It connects to a local PC in your house or a home server.
Or even a secure cloud connection, I guess.
Sure. It hands over its log and says, I encountered these 500 new specific queries this week that I couldn't answer efficiently.
Oh.
Please use your massive processing power to compute the probability shards for these exact scenarios and put them on my drive so I have them for next week.
So for you listening, picture a day in the life of a house running entirely on this protocol.
It's pretty amazing.
Your smart thermostat, your coffee maker, your fridge, none of them have expensive processors.
Nope.
They are constantly undergoing background learning. Throughout the week, they are silently logging your specific habits, your unique questions, the weird temperature adjustments you make at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
They only ever think when they are plugged into a powerful server during that weekly sync.
Right.
But the result is that the edge device builds a highly customized database of intelligence tailored specifically to your environment.
They become hyper-personalized to your exact life without you ever having to go to the store and buy a newer, more powerful model.
Exactly.
Your hardware doesn't change, but its pre-computed map of your life gets richer and richer.
It transforms a static piece of hardware into a self-improving edge node. It solves the problem of local learning without the energy cost of local computing.
We've covered some incredible ground today.
We really have.
By leveraging asynchronous probability dumping, we are looking at a way to completely transform advanced AI. We're taking it from a massive heat-generating compute burden and turning it into a lightweight instant database lookup.
We are dropping energy costs through the floor by shifting the computational heavy lifting to off-peak hours and utilizing solid-state storage as a probability reservoir.
We're shrinking RAM requirements from gigabytes down to mere megabytes.
Less than 50 megabytes.
Right. And turning tiny, cheap micro-routers into highly capable, self-improving super gadgets that learn your life on a weekly sync schedule.
And we are allowing system developers to do this sustainably by understanding the physical mechanics of memory storage.
The SPSS schema.
Right. Optimizing tensor reads with entropy masks and avoiding the wear and tear of write amplification.
So what does this all mean? The future of your smart home, and really the future of edge computing everywhere, isn't going to be powered by hotter, more expensive, power-hungry processors.
Definitely not.
It's going to be powered by brilliant, hyper-optimized storage tricks. We are going to navigate AI rather than constantly calculating it.
Which leaves us with a rather profound philosophical implication if you take this architecture to its ultimate extreme.
Oh, do tell.
If a future superintelligence achieves its incredible speed and flawless accuracy entirely by pre-computing every possible outcome in the universe and simply reading the answers from a massive storage array, is it actually thinking in real time when you talk to it? Or is it merely navigating a pre-written, highly detailed map of reality? And if the answers you receive are completely indistinguishable from real-time thought, does the difference even matter?
Man, that is something to chew on the next time you ask your smart speaker a question. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of tomorrow. Keep questioning the systems around you, and we'll catch you next time.